son Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here, fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune. Let's talk haircuts. I know you just wrote about this, but this is something that needs to be discussed. Take it away.
Yeah, well, I was down in West Virginia. My son is spending the summer there. He goes to college down there. And my wife gave me instructions when I left. Said, give him a hug goodbye and make sure he gets his hair cut. And he's kind of this wild mop of hair. It's not that it's long. It's just kind of out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And so she deputized me to do this. And I was cajoling him all week. Like, hey, we got to get over to the barbershop. And he's like, yeah. And trying to, shove me away. And I finally said, look, if I don't get you to the barbershop, mom is going to kill me. And then mom is going to go to prison and you're going to be an orphan. And so that you don't want that. So let's go. And so I said, all right. And he very grudgingly, we went off to the Supercuts.
Uh-huh.
And
they
they did a haircut that I think was, remember how when Elmer Fudd would go to the barbershop and Bugs Bunny would snip the scissors over his head?
Yes.
And I think that's kind of what they did, but they tidied him up a little bit.
All right, a quick question.
Yes.
Your son is how old?
He's 20.
20. So at what point is it either your call or your wife's call, or at what point is it up to him to
decide? Well, this is the point. See, this is the point. This is what happened was he went along with this. He's a very sweet kid. And afterwards, I said, you look good. Kind of punched him in the arm. And he's like, yeah, well, I kind of wish that, you and mom weren't in charge of my haircuts.
Oh.
And in the moment he said that, I went, oh. He's absolutely right.
Yeah. Why didn't he say something before, though?
Because he's not.
Boy, he's a good kid.
He's not confrontational like that. But he was letting me know by sulking and avoiding the subject that he didn't want to do it. But afterwards, I realized this is something that it's as a parent, it's very hard to shut up, right? And to let your kid. I mean, he's 20. He knows what he looks like. He knows the effect the effect he wants to have on other people. It's not like he looks in the mirror. He's a 20-year-old, looks in the mirror probably 2 hours a day. So it's like, what? I have long hair? Who knew?
Was it really long?
No, it was just kind of out of control. He's got this nice blonde hair, but it kind of grows out a little bit, and it's just kind of get out of control. It looks
Why did your wife put the job on you? Why could?
Because I was down there. I was down there, and it requires some. It's not just you can't call him and say get a haircut. You've got to actually
physically be
march
in the room.
Him off to the barbershops. And I as soon as he said that, I realized that I was really wrong to have done that, and I apologized to him. I said, you know what? I hadn't thought of it that way. You're totally right. I will never ask you to get a haircut again.
Yeah, now that it's short, you say that.
It's not actually all that short. I pointed out it was kind of a Bugs Bunny haircut. Where he was like, I think he got back with a stylist. He was going to just take a little bit off and get my dad off my case.
I have two boys with pretty long hair. Michael's is pretty really long. And when it starts looking crazy, I say, maybe it's time for a trim. That's all I say.
And what does he say?
He agrees, because usually it doesn't lay right or something.
Yeah, it's not length. It really wasn't length that bothers me. I don't mind long hair on boys. I'm not like a 19. It kind of is.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you're right. It's kind of width, and it's when it's just looks unkempt, right? I mean, long hair is fine. I'm not like a 1950s dad. Like, son, you look like a girl. I mean, nothing like that. I just feel like at some point it's not. It's not looking.
It's his head, though.
It's his head. No, you're totally right. I'm wrong. I've confessed
error
on this.
But doesn't this fit the equation a little bit? The fact that you guys are probably funding some of school, don't you go? Even though he's 20, we still
hold that over him. That's
a 1950s answer.
I would not do that, Bella. Son, I'm not going to pay for your college.
No, I'm not saying you'd pull it back, but don't you feel like a little bit like we still get some say in his appearance because we're kind of.
Wendy's shaking her head, and I kind of agree. It's like
appearance.
What?
No, the way you handle things. Yes, you have every right to say that.
You know,
when you come home, we're paying for your education. You should listen to our rules. But your appearance, don't wear those jeans, or I'm not paying for your stuff.
No, I'm not going to. It's tempting, isn't it? Because when they're little, you make every decision like that for them. And as they get a little older, you start giving them a little more latitude. And then at some point, you've really got to realize, and I think it's well before 20, you've got to realize, what his hair looks like, what clothes he chooses.
Yeah.
As long as it's within the law, you just got to step back, right? I mean, do you ever tell your daughters, like, you're not wearing that?
It's no, fashion-wise, no. But one of my daughters, Kylie, likes to be something of a world traveler. And about once or twice a month, she'll find about something about a country. Like last night, we all went out to dinner, and she said, I'm thinking during the break, I might go to Ghana. And we all went, why? And she explained the situation going on in Ghana and that she wants to see it. And it sounds romantic, but then I realize if she goes to Ghana, that means we're paying for her trip to Ghana. Well,
that's totally different.
That's very different. But I
agree with you on that.
About Ghana.
Yeah. But
if you want to go to Ghana, you can pay your own trip to Ghana.
What if she wanted to get a pixie haircut? I know you love her long hair. I mean, what if you all of a sudden said, you've got to get a pixie haircut? You'd never do that to her.
Fashion-wise or appearance-wise, yeah. I've suggested to my wife, much like your wife suggested to you, maybe you might want to talk to him, but I on a couple of occasions I've said, maybe mention that this shirt isn't the best thing for her, or that those pants aren't the best thing for her.
Too revealing. That's yeah. a dad, well, see, and that's okay.
Yeah. And that's something I think that, and I've got a daughter also, but I totally abdicate everything when it comes to her and fashion appearance. That's all my wife's purview.
Well, how does your wife feel about this? Because now that you're feeling kind of this buyer's guilt or haircut guilt,
yes,
haircut remorse, does she feel like she shouldn't have jumped into?
Well, it's interesting. I came back and I said, I didn't tell her this over the phone. We sat down. I said, you know what? I really regret telling Ben to get his haircut. I think that was a mistake. And she pushed back at first. She said, look, you know, it's like I'm still his mom, and I don't think he knows the effect that his appearance has on people. There is something to that, but that's how you learn. And I was thinking back when I was that age and I had like the shaggy haircut and I was wearing bell-bottom trousers and everything, with plaid and cuffs and everything. If my parents had told me, we don't like your fashion choices, which they never would have done. And I realized that that's part of the respect you've got to give, and you've got to realize that kids have got to make their own mistakes or their own choices.
But wouldn't it spurn you, if somebody said something like that to you, wouldn't you become adamant that, well, then I'm going to do more of this?
Yes. You get rebellious.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as his hair's clean, I mean, who cares?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think but that requires some stepping back, because when they're, 12, 13, I think you take more control over it, because they maybe don't realize the effect they have, or they don't realize what it looks like, and they don't. But at some point, I think it's well before 20, you just say, you know what, you're going to look the way you look, and as long as it's legal, and the issue of what a daughter would wear if something is too revealing I don't know. I mean, does Terry make that decision for you guys? Or
I, even though I'm a firm believer in equality in every way, shape, and form, it's been easier for me anyway. If I had sons, there'd be certain things that I would think I would want to talk to them about over my wife doing. But because they're daughters, I think it's better.
Mom should handle it.
Yeah.
Well, something like that.
Yeah.
Although, again, do they listen to Terry or do they just wear what they want?
No, they're pretty good about that. For the most part, they'll plead their case if it's something that's, debatable, It's mostly Kylie. Reese just, you go, green doesn't look good on you, and then everything that she owns is green is
She'll
gone.
Throw it out.
Yeah.
No more green clothes.
But some of the stuff, I mean, I see some of the girls walking to school now, and my son Dylan just started high school today, and he said at junior high there were a lot of girls that had to wear their gym shirts. And I said, why? And he said, because they came to school and their shirts were too revealing.
Spaghetti straps.
So they make them put their gym shirt on. And then it's like, I'm kind of thankful I don't have girls, because I don't know how you'd say, hey, if you want to wear that on your own private time, I don't love it, but you can. You just can't wear that to school. I don't know how
that. And schools tend to enforce that, and it's probably for the best, right?
Do you know what's happening at Evanston High School right now?
I don't.
Yoga pants?
For the last couple of years, there have been debates over what is and is not allowed as part of their wardrobe. So this year, their new policy at Evanston High School is there is no clothing policy. You wear what you want.
Really?
They did away with it.
And how's that going?
It hasn't started yet.
Oh.
So nobody knows yet. But
that's really interesting. You should have somebody in here to talk about that.
Yeah, because that might actually go better, because
I think the same.
When no one's telling you what to do, you tend to think for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I'm wondering, to the extent that maybe parents of our generation hang on too hard, because I don't know anybody whose parents gave them crap about their haircut when I was growing up. Parents were just like, I think they were better at letting go maybe than we are. And I realize that I haven't been that good about letting go, and I'm now going to be better about it.
I'm terrible at letting go. I really am, and Bill, you sometimes laugh at me, but I feel so much better knowing that you're still hanging on at 20. I only have 18 and 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
But it is hard to let go. Is this your first one?
No. I've got a 27-year-old, but he always seemed to keep his circle better. I guess I'm trying to remember. But this
you
is,
also you know. Have a son who's older than you, and I don't understand how
I am my own I'm my own grandpa. I'll sing that song for you.
I have no idea how that's possible. So. Eric Zorn is here. Stick around if you want to jump in. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune comes by every Monday, and we just talk about whatever's in the news, sometimes on the front page, sometimes on page 83. Let's talk a little bit about the monument situation, Eric. It's really escalated into
some
trouble.
It has really heated up in the past week. Yeah, when just to refresh everybody's memory, the neo-Nazis, white supremacists protested in Charlottesville over the plans to remove a statue of Robert E. Lee, the Confederate general, from the Emancipation Park in that town. And this is really thrown into relief this question as to what these monuments stand for. And in doing a lot of the, you know, some research on this and looking into it, you know, the idea that these stands for some sort of, you know, this is the bravery of these generals and these wonderful people. A lot of these monuments were erected during Jim Crow. A lot more of them were erected after Brown versus Board of Education. Many of these Confederate monuments are basically a raised middle finger to African Americans and to people who feel like that it was wrong for the South to try to secede, essentially over the issue of slavery. And I've been inundated with mail from these dead enders who want to say that slavery wasn't really a big issue in secession. It was a big issue, and if you look at the Articles of Secession from the Confederate States that broke away from the U.S., It was about slavery. They mentioned it quite a bit. And essentially, Robert E. Lee led this rebellion in order to preserve the institution of chattel slavery, which is a horrible thing, you know, in retrospect. It was a horrible thing at the time. It's a horrible thing in retrospect. What do these statues stand for? And what does the Confederate battle flag stand for? And this is an issue that came up. Remember when Dylann Roof shot up that church and in South Carolina? But in any case, South Carolina removed its Confederate flag because he was photographed, you know, embracing the Confederate flag. What does that flag stand for? And over the years, there's been this somewhat successful effort to transform the flag, the battle flag of the Confederacy and some of these statues into sort of, you know, memorials for sweet tea and Southern hospitality and grits and fiddle tunes and things like that. And in fact, you know, it still, for a lot of people, has always stood for this effort to preserve the institution of slavery. And to my mind, it's time for these statues on public land to be moved to museums or put into a museum context. And for us to take these highways that are named for Lee and for Jefferson Davis, to rename those highways, because they are painful reminders to people. And until we're really honest about what those statues and what those, you know, quote unquote honors mean, we're not going to be able to begin to put this stain behind us. And I, you know, it seems like it's many years too late, but it is time to do that. And when you press people about, you know, and there's a difference between like a book or a plaque or something that talks about what happened and a statue. A statue is an honor. There's a reason we don't have a statue of Osama bin Laden at the 9/11 memorial. There's a reason we don't have a statue. There's not a statue of Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City by the memorial to those victims there. We don't, you know, a statue, again, it's not history. It's an honor. And we have to realize, why are we honoring Robert E. Lee? Why are we honoring the people who, I mean, 600,000 people died in the Civil War over this issue. And again, we could have been covering it over, saying, oh, it's about, you know, stock car races and y'all and everything. And it really is not for a lot of people. And this has really thrown this into relief. I don't think you have to equate this. President Trump last week was saying, well, what next? We're going to get rid of statues to Washington and Jefferson because they own slaves. We remember Washington and Jefferson for building this country. We remember Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis for trying to tear this country apart. There's a big difference. Nobody out there is without sin, right? None of the presidents we've ever had have been fault-free. And the further back you go in history, the more people are of their time and have sins of their time. But we don't remember them primarily for that. That's not their major accomplishment. We honor them, you know, in spite of some of their flaws, not because of them. And I think when you look at a guy like Robert E. Lee, we are honoring him because of what he did, in, you know, like I said, in service right. of breaking apart the Union and preserving the institution of slavery. So that's why I've been arguing that it's time for these things to come down and to be, again, moved in and put into context. I don't think we have to erase any history. This isn't about history. It's about honor. And what do we honor? And what do we support?
So, well said, Eric.
Thank you.
The mayor of Baltimore, Maryland, had all these statues removed in the middle of the night, which was genius because there were no demonstrations. There was no violence. Could that have happened in Chicago? Could we have removed all those statues in the middle of the night?
We don't have that. We have, like, there's down at Oak, with the Oak Mound Cemetery. I'm trying to remember exactly where it was. But we don't have a lot of...
No, we don't.
There is, and of course, an issue that we're talking about right now in Chicago. There's a column that's dedicated to Balbo down on, I think it's right by Balbo Drive. I'm not exactly sure where it is. But this question, should we put that statue, that honorary statue, and put that into, like I say, a museum context? Maybe return the column back to the Greeks or something.
Yeah.
And rename Balbo. I'm sorry. Yeah, Balbo.
Yeah.
For an Italian person who we have perhaps more honor for. Enrico Fermi, people have suggested. Yeah. Bernardine is another one. Cabrini.
Anthony Rizzo.
Cabrini. actually, when I wrote about this a few years ago, people were saying, oh, this is all new. But no, it's not. It's this is an issue that's been alive for a long time. I did a reader poll on this. The Italian-American that people most wanted to honor was Ron Santo.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's a great idea.
Name a statue for Ron Santo.
I love it.
I was down with it. So anyway.
I love it.
Is that Elise Glink?
Yeah, she's going to do the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Wow.
Yeah.
You might probably want to talk to her more
especially
than me.
Especially Eclipse version.
I got my glasses.
Well, good to see you, and good to see Elise Glink, too.
Eric, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a week.
Great.
It's Eric
get a
Zorin.
Haircut.
Yeah, get a haircut, for heaven's sakes. Kippy. All right. Elise Glink is here. You know what? She's hosting the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll find out what she has next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.